Hey, it's Doug. Before I send it to the episode, I want to let you know that it's exciting because Carl Jensen joins me on this episode. We recorded it live in Portland, FinCon. We're in the expo hall, so you will hear some background noise. We only had about 30 minutes and some people were coming by and waving at us and stuff like that. If it seems like we're distracted a little bit, that's why. Sometimes it's just a little distracting and we try to lock in, but we also jumped around a little bit. I was trying to manage the time and it's a little bit random. So beware, just have low expectations. That's one of the secrets to life. And that's a secret to enjoy the Mile High Five podcast. Just low expectations will be your friend. If it's your first episode, then you may want to check out some other ones first, but I welcome you to listen to it. If you know Carl, then all this will make a lot of sense. The real thing that I wanted to let you know is I don't think I talked much about my own like fitness approach currently right now. I focus mostly on asking Carl questions, which I had a lot. So at the end of the episode, instead of the normal sound check, I will have a short monologue where maybe I talk about like normally how I work out and that sort of thing. And that'll be at the end, hopefully just a few minutes. I'll try to stick to the main topics and the point. And that's some good advice for me to do right here in the intro. So let's send it to the show. I'll send it to myself from the past back in Portland. Hey, what's going on? Welcome to the Mile High Five podcast. I'm Doug Cunnington and I have a very special guest host named Carl. How's it going, Carl?
Good. What's happening, Doug?
Not much. I'm feeling pretty good. We're out here at FinCon. We're in Portland, Oregon. There's energy in the room. We just saw the keynote, the opening keynote, and it was great. So yeah, I have a lot of energy. I just drank a bunch of caffeine too. So how about you? What's going on?
Yeah, I was walking around Portland a little bit this morning. It's a very interesting place. I think I saw someone smoking meth. I'm not sure. He was doing something interesting on the park bench. So
interesting.
Yeah, Portland has some minor issues, but it's a great city. I do love it here. Weather's so nice, cloudy, it's green.
Yeah. Yeah, it felt good. I saw someone on my walk this morning passed out on some steps, which was like just across the street from the hotel. So,
well, you think if you're going to pass out, you do it like on the grass or under a tree or something, not on the steps.
Yeah, but otherwise, Portland's awesome and we've been finding it pretty well. And you've been here for a couple days or something, or just a day?
No, we just got here yesterday. Today is Wednesday, right? We got in on Tuesday.
Yeah. Okay. And I'd love to go deeper, talk about all that stuff, but we don't have much time today. So we're going to cover fitness. And this is a theme that we've covered many times, maybe like once a quarter or something, like you and I back when you were on the show. It's a different time back then when you were on the show all the time. But basically, we would give little updates on what's going on. And you actually have great data over the last several years. And I was walking around the gym the other day and I saw the sexy man in front of me. And then I was shocked to see that it was actually you in front of me. And I was like, whoa, this guy's ripped. So what has been going on? Quite a transformation. And you could just kind of cover like where you are now and we'll dig into some details. And again, we have a lot of data that we'll talk about. But yeah, how'd you get so shredded?
Ooh, that's very complimentary, Doug. Thank you for that. I don't think I'm actually that shredded. But I realized recently that I've been working out incorrectly pretty much my whole life. This all started back in on our trip to Arizona. When was that? Like about a year and a half ago.
Yeah, like February, a couple of years ago.
Yeah. I saw Brad Baird and that guy was looking awesome. So I'm like, hey, Brad, what's going on? What have you been doing with your routine? He told me, you know, it wasn't stuff I didn't know already, but I guess the way he phrased it, and more specifically, the way his trainer, Dean Turner, who has been on the Choose a Fi podcast, the workout this guy put together, I kind of pivoted over to that and started pushing myself and doing some other things. And yeah, I found it actually worked for the first time in my life. I think I've been working out successfully. So the previous like 30 years were all pretty much a waste of time. Better late than never, right, Doug?
Yeah. And the thing is, like, you made such progress in a fairly short amount of time. So we're not going to go over all the data, but
The most recent, it was just a few weeks ago. Your weight was 157. So that's your current weight. And at the beginning of the year, roughly, you were at 174. So that's 18 pounds of weight that you lost. Can you talk about that?
Yeah. And I think I've put on muscle at the same time. Is that correct? I don't have these numbers in front of me.
4 pounds of muscle in the same time frame.
Yeah. So I guess the most important thing was pivoting away from carbs and pivoting towards a protein-centric diet. Yeah, changing my diet up and doing brisk walking, a lot of zone 2 exercise. I think I've been averaging about 24,000 steps a day for the year, along with intermittent fasting. And so eating less, eating right, and doing a lot of physical activity.
And I actually misspoke. You lost 4 pounds of lean mass, so 4 pounds of muscle, but you lost like a lot more fat.
Yeah.
So I misspoke. Sorry.
It's impossible to lose fat and gain muscle. I think there's some people who say you can, and maybe you can, but I don't think it's the optimal way to do it. You should focus on one or the other because you're going to get a lot faster results than if you try to do both at the same time.
So, yep. And I'm sure, obviously, it's over a 6-month period. It's not like you only lost weight. I'm sure some days you were up, put on some muscle, and went down. Okay. So, it's kind of unfulfilling. So let me get this right. So you worked out and then you ate right and then you exercised. Is that so it's just like the same thing that we all do?
Pretty much. And the one thing I didn't mention was lots of strength training. So part of the goal when you lose weight, I think, is to try not to lose so much as you want to lose a minimal amount of lean mass, which is very difficult. To lose weight, you have to be in a caloric deficit. So you're going to lose some muscle, but training really hard, the weight training helps minimize that muscle loss.
And then all the protein you're eating too, and you have some special way to get extra protein, right?
I'm not sure where you're going with that, Doug.
Just, you know, fish, salmon, beef, whatever.
Fish protein shakes, the Costco chicken. They sell the big cans of chicken in a can. I think it's 46 grams of protein. So I'll just have a whole can of that on maybe lettuce for lunch.
Okay, gotcha. And any other things that helped you like control your diet or anything like that?
Oh, man. Well, I experimented with microdosing Ozempic. So I can hear everyone's eyes rolling at this point, but I did not do it for weight loss purposes. I was talking to my sister who works for a big hospital system, and this hospital system is doing a study on the semaglutide drugs like Ozempic and Wegovy. A lot of people think, besides the weight loss effects, that these drugs have other anti-inflammation effects, that they think it might actually decrease like dementia and Alzheimer's, because the cause of that could be brain inflammation. So I was talking to my doctor about this, and my doctor was like, yeah, I think there might be some validity to this. Would you like to try to microdose these drugs? I'm like, sure, what the heck? Experiments with the body. So I did. And what I didn't realize is when you do a microdosing regimen, you start on the same dosage as someone who is on a weight loss regimen, and you just don't increase it. So if you're on it to lose weight, you double your dose after a couple of weeks, then you double again and on. With microdosing, you state the same thing. So my initial effect was the same as someone on the weight loss regimen. So I took a dose of that, and for at least the first month or so, oh my God, the drugs are startling what they do to you in good and bad ways. Like
you didn't poop for a month, you said, right?
It wasn't quite a month, but I think like 4 or 5 days, just nothing going on down there. You're like doing sit-ups and doing squats, trying to loosen things up, eating lettuce and Metamucil, nothing happens. So one of the ways the drug makes you lose weight is it slows down your digestion. So it's just like a big stop sign in there for your gastrointestinal tract.
Do you think, is this cheating? Did you cheat? Because that seems like, I mean, because you lost a lot of weight and that's the big thing. Like you dropped almost like 18 pounds in 6 months.
Yeah, that's a great question. I'm not sure if it's the right question. I think a better question might be, was it the right thing to do? Because with these drugs, a lot of people who do them, they go off the drugs, I'm no longer on them, and then all the weight comes back instantly. So it was effective. I've been able to maintain my losses and not being on the drug. It's definitely harder. I find myself pushing through hunger. So your original question, maybe I did cheat, but the thing it did, I think it did something very important for me in that it showed me what I need to eat to maintain my body. And it turns out it's not nearly as much as I was actually eating. So I've learned something from the experience and I carry that forward. But I don't know, cheating is a weird word because I'm not hurting anyone else. I might've been cheating myself if I didn't do it and didn't do this experiment, because now I'm in better shape. So I'm not sure how to answer that.
No. Yeah. And obviously I'm just giving you a hard time. Mm-hmm. I'm jealous because I'm like, I love to eat. And I'm like, I know it's diet. Like, because I think I'm active enough, but I eat way too much food or drink. So,
yeah, food is good. And the weird thing the drugs do for you is they just eliminate your hunger completely. So you just don't want food. I don't get Costco hot dogs that often, maybe once or twice a year. But one time we did go to Costco and I ordered a hot dog and I ate like a third of it. I'm like, okay, this is it. I'm done. So it kind of changes your relationship with food. Like, you're just never hungry. So if you eat, it's because you're forcing it down your throat, which is pretty strange. I wish I could be like that all the time, actually. It's quite nice not to be hungry. And eating kind of becomes a chore at that point. It's very strange. It's hard to explain.
Very interesting. And then did you find, like, mentally, you just weren't thinking about food, too? I've heard people say something like that.
Oh, absolutely. You never think about food. The food noise just goes away completely. You're just not hungry and never think about anything. You'll pass by something that would normally be super tempting and you'll just like walk right past it, like a barbecue restaurant or something. Like, okay, this has no effect.
What would you think about instead? With all your free time, you're not on the toilet for an hour a day or whatever. I don't know how you do your thing, but
I have no idea.
Oh, you don't know what you thought about instead? Or
No. I have no idea what I was thinking about. Probably my other big project in life, which is a house I'm working on. So
will be an upcoming episode that we'll talk about. Okay. And going back, so you created the notes. And thanks for recording with me. I know you have a very busy schedule. But you do have a busy schedule. But for real, thanks for recording with me. You created these notes and I was like, this is great. And you mentioned, hey, you want to make sure that it's not just all about you, which I think was a veiled suggestion anyway. But the thing is, I don't think anything different. I haven't been doing much different myself, but I'm curious, do I look pretty much the same as from 6 months ago or whatever?
I think you do pretty much look the same. And that's a testament to you because you see people and they go up and down, up and down, up and down. And I was once watching an interview with that Mr. Rogers and he was like, yeah, I've been at 143 pounds, pretty much all of my adult life. I've never deviated from that. I'm like, that's pretty incredible. And that's kind of how you are, Doug. So if this whole podcast thing doesn't work out, maybe you should have a children's show, Doug Cunnington's Neighborhood.
Oh, that could be good. I'll have to think about that.
I actually don't think it would be good at all. I think it'd be quite terrible. But
yeah.
I don't know. Maybe.
Yeah, I'll try to. Yeah, I don't know many kids in the neighborhood now, but maybe if I get an ice cream truck and drive around, maybe I can make friends with kids.
I know you're in between vehicles. Maybe if you get a white van and one of those sweaters that Mr. Rogers wore, I think you'd look good in that. And the cold weather's coming, Doug.
Oh, man. Okay. One thing that's cool. So we don't record the pod anymore, of course, but I see you at the gym pretty often. And one thing that we end up doing is just, we're not making fun of the other people there, but we're not making fun of them either. So how would you describe it? I think we're venting because people kind of, not everybody's great at the gym.
We go to the wrong gym and I know we both have different reasons. You go to it because it happens to be close to your home. And I go to it because they have a walking track and I do that between my sets. But yeah, there's a lot of people who just have bad gym behavior. The worst one is, I have no issue with this, but it seems like the octogenarian gym, there's lots of really, really old people there. And I have no issue with that. I actually think it's great that they're out there. But what they do is they'll sit on the machine and look at their phone in between sets. And then I've got to the point where I confront them. There's signs everywhere that say, do not sit on machines, let others work in. So I'm like, hey, sir, do you mind if I just jump in there and do my set real quick? And they usually get angry at me, like, oh, I guess you could get in here. What the hell? Read the sign. So I don't know. Hopefully I don't do something bad and get kicked out of there. Yeah. And then there's people who just the gym is very tight and they need a bigger facility. There's people who will just do like yoga or weird exercises in the middle of the thing. I'm like, dude, go somewhere else and do this. Like, they shouldn't have to step over you to go to the bathroom. Like, get out of my way.
Yeah. And that's one of the big things recently that I ran into. And I always preface with like, it's great that people are going to the gym and working out. Great. But yeah, some of the etiquette's off. And one of, there's not enough space, but sometimes people do have an option and they're, again, it seems like the old people, they don't give a fuck. So they do whatever they want. But anyway, there'll be like an older lady who sets up right in front of kettlebell shelves, you know? And it's like, whatever, there's some small kettlebells, but there's like 50, 80 pound kettlebells and stuff. And she's over there like doing hip thrust or whatever right in front. And I'm like, I can't get, not only is it distracting with all the hip thrusting stuff, but like, it's hard to get the kettlebell out and it's heavy and I'm going to like drop it on her head. I'm like, just move a little bit over. Like, it's clearly dangerous to be right in front, erotically thrusting. You know this person I'm talking about?
I think I do know.
No, I just made it up. I have to go this when you go. The other thing is we have to be cautious to not just complain because no one wants to listen to us complain. But there's some people with some super severe BO. It's horrible. Like, they walk in the door and start coming up the stairs and I can smell it from like 40 feet away. And there's this one dude, hopefully doesn't listen to the show, but if you are listening out there and you're a fan, I don't know, take a shower, deodorant. I don't know if it's the same shirt, lucky shirt you would never wash or something, but it smells like chopped onions, like raw white onions that you would find on a hot dog bar, like on a street cart or something like that. Like, it's been in the sun for a while. It's like hot, garbagey. Yeah. Do you know the guy that I'm talking about?
I do. I think I do. He's got like a green stink cloud that follows him behind. And if it's the same person, it's really annoying because I do sets, like walking sets between my weightlifting reps. And this guy is often on the track at the same time. And he walks at my pace too. So I got to be very careful to time it. So I kind of get some distance in front of him because by the time I work my way around, the stink cloud will have dissipated. But if you're like 20 feet in back of him, you're in his back draft, his BO draft, and it's horrible. Do you think these people can't smell themselves or what's going on? Like,
I wonder. Yeah. Like, I'm not a very smelly person and I love taking showers. So I'm often clean, but if I'm out on the trail for a while or something like that, I can tell, like, I smell a little bit. So I assume that they can, but maybe it's just something that it's like smelling your own fart.
Yeah.
It's not bad, right? is that just a me thing or?
Your own fart is never as bad as someone else's farts. It is still pretty bad, but I have tried to exact revenge against that guy and cut loose when he's in back of me. I don't know. If he can't smell his own BO though, my fart probably just goes over his head. And
talking about crop dusting out there in public.
Completely.
This is what the show's been missing, man. You know, like, I hardly talk about farts with any other co-host or guest. That's why people come around and listen to this show.
Sounds like an opportunity for a new show, the fart show.
Now, one thing I complained about the other couple months ago or whatever, I admire the way you dress, Carl, as many people know, because you get that Costco casual going on. And I was having trouble finding pants there, and you've dropped enough weight where maybe you have to get some new clothes.
Yeah, it's quite disappointing. Like, Doug, Costco is my go-to for clothing. And when I was at my worst, the beginning of the year, when I was at that 174, my button was threatening on my size 32 pants. It was threatening to like pop off and take someone's eyes out because I had put on weight. So I might've been pushing like a 33 or 34 at that point, but now a 30 is loose. And Costco, unfortunately, I think they stop at 30, right? They don't have 28 size pants, which I could probably use now. So I still go there, but I have to remember to bring a belt, which is always tedious. Some of them have the built-in belts, which is nice. But yeah, I can no longer buy shorts at Costco.
When I see those fit pretty well, and I see that you've moved over to ladies' pants, and are those Ann Taylor Law? I think they fit your feminine hips really well.
They're actually Kate Spade, so close.
Let's see. What's next for you? So you lost a good amount of weight, and it sounds like you were on Ozempic or some similar thing for about a few months, but you're not on that anymore. So what's coming up?
I still have some more pounds to lose. I think you've got the numbers in front of me, but I think at one point it said I was at like 13 or 14% body fat. To be clear, I do hydrostatic body tests where they dip you in water. They're supposed to be pretty accurate. I went to a DEXA scan. I don't think that thing was accurate at all. Like, I had stomach definition, and I think it said I was 24, 25% body fat. So I'm not going to go for another DEXA scan. This thing said I think I was 13 or 14.
Yeah, 13.5.
And I don't think that's correct. I'm probably closer to 16, something like that. So I've got a little bit more weight to lose and just want to continue working on my strength. It's all about, it is about vanity. I'm kind of vain, Doug. I want to look good, but I also want to be able to grow old successfully. I'm already quite old and close to that hip-breaking age, and I don't want to do that. Strength plays a big role. You maintain your balance. Yeah, all that. So I want to grow old successfully, and I want to look good.
Do you have like a specific body fat or lean like goal? Like, is there something that you're aiming towards? Or like, if you just stayed like right where you are, would that be fine for you?
I don't know. I think low 150s with my current muscle mass would probably be a good place to be. So I'll probably, especially when I get home from this, things tend to go a little bit off the rails at these conferences. And I just had a big trip and road trips. We've talked about that before. Things go a little bit off the rails then too. So what I'll do when I'll get home is I'll focus more on the weight loss versus muscle gain. And then when I get down to my goal, I'll pivot back and start eating more again.
Okay. I know I'm jumping around a little bit, but let's talk a little bit about this specific like weight training that you're doing. So you referenced Dean Turner and Brad Barrett, and we could link up so people could check out the episode they recorded together. Super detailed. I listened to it a couple of times. Really awesome. And I assume, you know, you probably talked to Brad and listened to that episode. But how are you working out and what do you do?
Yeah, it's pretty simple. I'll go to the gym and I start out with pull-ups. So I'll usually do 5 sets of pull-ups. And every set, you're going to the absolute max. So Dean Turner has a phrase for it. He calls it voluntary slowness, which is kind of a way to rephrase failure. So I don't go quite to failure, but I go to a set where I'm really, really, really struggling to get it done. So sometimes you do fail. So I usually do 5 sets and with big, long rest periods in between. I'll often walk 4 laps around the gym, which I think is a third of a mile. So my rest periods are 5 or 6 minutes. After that, push-ups. After that, triceps and then biceps. So all in the same day. I had shoulders in there, but my shoulders are screwy, so I've backed off on that. And then I'll usually finish it off with some dips at the very end of everything.
Okay. What about your legs?
Yes, then I do deadlifts and squats on the next day, on day 2.
Okay. How many days a week do you lift like that?
Day 1 is upper body, day 2 is legs, day 3 is rest / walking. I'll usually walk a little bit more on that day, and then I repeat.
Okay. I think you may have told me that your resting heart rate higher than you would have expected? Do I recall that?
Yeah, it's kicked back up. Like, I had it down to the 50s right before COVID, and now it's like 70s, which I'm not happy about. So I've started to get cardio back into my fitness routine too, specifically VO2 max training. I'm sure you've heard Peter T and these guys talk about that. It's supposed to be one of the indicators of longevity. So I do a 4-3-4 protocol, which is like you're doing an all-out run, like 80, 85, 90% max heart rate for 4 minutes, rest 3, 4 more minutes. And so 4-3-4-3, 4-3-4 to try to get my heart rate back down and increase my cardiovascular fitness. And that's pretty early, so I can't speak to results or lack of results from that yet.
One thing I realized, it's been a little while, but when I worked out, like, basically overtraining. So when I worked out too much and I was like going to failure and like just doing a lot, my heart rate went up.
Huh.
And then when I took a couple days off, like say 2 days off, I still walked or whatever, or just did a lower intensity, my heart rate went back down. So I wonder if it's like overtraining and your body's like just a little bit fatigued and you need to take a little time off.
Yeah, I don't know. That's interesting. I've had a couple weeks of rest. Like, I just did a big road trip and I used that time to rest, and I don't think it went down much, but I need to go back and look at that. That's a good thought.
Interesting. Yeah. And my heart rate, it went back up, but I'm pretty sure it's just, I don't drink a super crazy amount like often, but I'm a frequent, like probably almost daily.
So like, I think since maybe like March or so, my heart rate's been elevated a little bit. Like if you look at the chart, you can see where I had a kind of a slow, dry January. Then after that, like ramped it up. So maybe after this trip, like we're literally, like we're staying longer to like drink beer in Portland. Like I'm doing all the wrong stuff. I need to like sign up for some long-term like fitness goal thing for the future, and that'll make me, it'll force me to make better decisions. But like right now, I'm like in a loop where I'm like making it worse. Do you have any tips?
Maybe we'll do a video show in like a couple months from now, and we'll both be topless, and we can do like Arnold Schwarzenegger pumping iron like poses. And might be the external threat of humiliation might be enough to encourage us both to get our shit together.
Yeah. That's not bad. Okay. So you mentioned you want to lose a little bit more. So same muscle mass, a little bit trimmer, and anything else? You're working on cardio a little bit more. Anything else?
Yeah. One other thing I'll mention real quick that's helped me out is the Heavy app that's spelled H-E-V-Y. And what this does is just keep track of all your sets. You put every time you do a set in there, you put it in there. And then it keeps track of the total amount you've lifted. So it'll say, today you lifted like 20,000 pounds. So I think it's motivating. I don't have a partner. I know I've asked you and you've said, no, get away from me, the restraining order and all that. So I can't work out with you. Mindy doesn't do the same stuff. So that app makes me compete with myself. And it's more motivating than I thought it would be. Someone else told me about it and I resisted it for a while. But yeah, I really like it because every time I see, it shows you what you did the previous workout. So you're like, oh, geez, I just want to squeeze out one more.
Gotcha. Do you do any like pre-workout stuff or just you're a caffeine guy, right?
I walk to warm up. I find that I have to work out first thing in the morning. That's when I have my energy. If I let it sit till the afternoon, it doesn't work out as well usually. And I'll usually drink a protein drink over the course of my workout.
Okay. Cool. Well, anything else you could think of before we wrap it up?
Real quick, there's some guy on our Facebook. On our Facebook group, the Mile High Five Facebook group, who recently said, oh, I've got all my money in order. I think the next goal after this should be fitness. And I chimed in there. I'm like, no, your goal should always be fitness. Money is great and it's important, but if you don't have your fitness, nothing else matters. And just like money, your fitness is cumulative. What you do, what you eat in your 20s, is going to affect how you live when you're 80. So you got to be working on this stuff your whole life. And I did not, and maybe that'll come back to bite me in the ass. Yeah, this is just as important, the most important thing.
Yeah. And I think it, like for me, and I think you now too, it's like pretty fun. Like we enjoy it. Like I like to go to the gym, even with the, you know, the issues that we have with the specifics or the crowdedness or smelly people there or some guy farting and then walking around. So I don't know. I like working out. Enjoy it.
Yeah, I do too. I wish we could kick some of those people out of the gym, but yeah. And it's going to be holiday soon in January, so it's going to be really busy soon, which I don't look forward to.
Yeah. All right. Well, thanks for popping back on. And I think we're going to record another one here. We're going to talk about your new house project. So
yeah,
I think that'll be pretty fun to get into.
Cool. Thank you, Doug.
Thanks.
Thanks for listening to the show. That was the Mile High Five podcast, and I'm Doug Cunnington. If you dig the show, please do three things for us. Number one, tell a friend, a family member, an enemy about the show. We really don't care who you tell. Maybe forward them a specific show that you know that they will like. It's the single most helpful thing that you can do to spread the word. It's like giving us a virtual high five, and actually we don't give high fives in person, so the virtual kind's pretty good. And more importantly, your friend or family member or even your enemy will appreciate the fact that you were thinking of them. Number two, make sure you're following or subscribed on your podcast app, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Overcast, YouTube, whatever you're using, and that way you won't miss a show. And number three, please leave us a rating and review. We read them on the show occasionally, and you might hear yours out there on an upcoming episode. Quick disclaimer. This show is not financial or legal advice. I'd actually be surprised if it sounded like it. It's really just for entertainment, and that's at least what we're hoping for. But seriously, get advice from professionals. So we'll catch y'all next week. So Carl and I recorded the episode, it was like a month ago, so I don't remember exactly what I said, but I'm pretty sure I focused mostly on what he was doing differently. So I'll give a quick update. I know there's a few people that have emailed or asked about what I'm doing, so I'll let you know. And I actually made notes ahead of time, so it should be brief because I only use two small post-it notes. So I probably work out about 4 to 7 times per week. It just depends on the week. I am not too rigid. I treat this very casually. And one of my main goals is to not get injured. So I want to be able to work out the next day, even that if that means the scope of that workout that day is less than what it could be. I'm not trying to necessarily like live up to my full potential or anything like that, which I guess it's a theme across different areas of my life. But I try to do my best most of the time, but I want to be able to show up the next day and continue to work out. So 4 to 7 times, and this is potentially related and important. I'll take breaks. So I usually try to take a break from working out and going to the gym when we go on vacation. So we were just out in Silverthorne, Colorado. We stayed in a town home condo situation. There was a rec center close by, so I could have actually gone to go work out. We were there for like a week or so, and it could have been good to go like one day and like lift some weights, but we need rest. Our bodies need rest sometimes. And like I said, I go like 4 to 7 times a week, and it's kind of a habit. Like it's a daily, almost daily thing. And most often it's probably like 6 or 7 days a week. Like I'm going to the gym or doing something fairly active. So that said, for me to take a break for like the days that we were out of town is probably fine. I did other activities, right? I walked and hiked and stuff like that. So I still was active. I didn't sit around, but I'm taking a little break. A lot of people that lift weights or do a regular workout, if you run or cycle or whatever your thing is, we often have nagging injuries. My shoulder gives me a little bit of trouble every now and then. Elbows, same deal. So taking a break for a few days allows some time for that stuff to heal. So I sort of work out harder before a trip. So like if I'm going to be out of town, I'm going to maybe not work out at all. It's going to be okay. Like I'll use that time to recover. And other times, you know, like when we were in Portland, there was a really nice gym at the hotel. So I worked out each day. Again, maybe it was a little bit different than what I would do at my home gym, but it was fine. I still got out there and did most of it. So typically here's what an average workout looks like. I'll do some light cardio, kind of just to warm up, 15 to 30 minutes or so on an elliptical. And I have access to the ones where you move your arms too. So it kind of just like warms me up a little bit. And like I said, 15 to 30 minutes, whatever I'm feeling that day. Again, very casual, which is why I'm not making like a huge amount of progress. But my goal is consistency over time and no injury. Again, no injury is a theme. Then after I do that light cardio, I'll lift weights. And that ranges from probably 15 to 90 minutes, depending on what I'm doing, how I'm feeling that day, maybe my overall energy level as far as, did I sleep well the night before? Have I been staying up late? Was I traveling? Somehow, after leaving Portland, I caught a cold. So I had a fever when I got back for a couple of days, and I actually got over it pretty quickly. But there were about 5 days where I felt a little under the weather, and I was like, I wasn't doing much. Like I, you know, it was a light flu or something like that. I'm not 100% sure. But then maybe the next week, I walked mostly, and I didn't start lifting weights or anything like that, probably for like 7 or 8 days. So there was a decent chunk of time where I wasn't feeling up to it, and I knew it, and I was like, okay, I'm just going to like gradually get back into it. So I got a little bit more of a longer rest. And the thing is, like, your body, you know, is trying to fight the illness. And I can see it. I wear an Apple Watch, nothing fancy. It's a fairly old one. I actually need to get a new one before too long. But I can see my resting heart rate was elevated like while I was sick. And it was day over day, just whatever, 15, 20% higher than it normally is. And I could tell, like, when the fever went away and I started to feel better, heart rate was back down. All that to say, when your body is tired, like, let it rest. So, and again, you know, if you're not someone who has the habit or the routine to go to the gym, then this is, you're like, what are you even talking about? Of course, you're not going to go to the gym if you're sick. But if it's a thing that you do all the time, and I have for 30 years or so, then it's a thing that I'm like, oh, I should go to the gym. I feel like I really should go. So I took a break. So anyway, I'll do the weights for 15 to 90 minutes, depending on what's going on. Pretty standard kind of focus, legs, back, chest, shoulders. Occasionally I'll do some, you know, more specific, especially around the shoulders, but generally I am doing like compound lifts, or occasionally I'll use the weight machines. I use dumbbells often, squat rack. Technically it might be a Smith machine. There's like the guided rail situation, but it moves around freely. So I'm not 100% sure if it's the exact Smith machine. But anyway, I'll do some barbell stuff on the squat rack. And again, like I said, legs, back, chest, shoulders, mainly compound lifts and that sort of thing. And I'll push it sometimes. This is the big thing that Brad Barrett and Dean Turner, I believe, talked about in the podcast, which I'm pretty sure we'll link to. And this is what Carl referenced. And that was a big change for him, where he was working out closer to failure more often. And I will push it sometimes, but it depends on what's going on. So currently, right now, I'm not like super focused on that. So I'll do a handful of sets. I'll usually go until I'm pretty tired. But one thing that I haven't been doing for probably the last year is like recording what I have been doing. For a stretch, I was like bringing a notebook and writing things down so I knew where I was. And I haven't been doing that. So like, I roughly remember like what weights I'm doing, but I'm not keeping track of the volume, which this is the wrong way to do it, by the way. So if you want to make great progress, then you should keep track of it. You should keep notes, use an app, whatever. And then you know, like, that you're making progress. But as I mentioned, I'm in a spot where, like, if I just keep going steady, it's probably all right. Again, no injury. I'll just keep mentioning it. No injury. Cause when, you know, a couple times I was trying to push it when I was keeping notes, and I would tweak my back, and then it's fucked for like 2-3 weeks, hurts really bad, and it's bad form. It's other sloppiness. And the thing is, I'm not taking it seriously enough. Or basically, if I had like a trainer with me and they said, oh, you know what, like, you're putting too much pressure on your back, do this differently. But I don't have that. So at the level that I'm working at, it seems to be fine. And occasionally I will like focus and think, all right, I'm going to do more weight. I'm going to do either more weight or more volume or something like that. And often doing a lower weight for me and just a higher volume is better. It's less prone to injury because I'm not holding like or pulling or pushing more weight than what I can safely handle. I'm just doing more volume. So I don't know if that, for the people that it's for, that makes sense. As far as other cardio, I often, and this isn't necessarily cardio, but I often get about 14,000 steps. So give or take 1,000. Occasionally I'll try to be a little bit more active. So I think actually leading up to FinCon, before I got sick, I was trying to walk a little bit more, not a huge amount, but for a couple months, I averaged 15,000 steps per day instead of the normal 14, give or take. And not a huge increase, but over the course of 2 months, that is that's a handful of calories, and it does make a difference. When I got the cold, it coincided with a pretty good amount of travel and just being away from home and like driving days, flying days, stuff like that. So that, you know, you're not walking around as much if you're driving for 6 hours in a day, and that just kind of takes it out of you. The other part, occasionally I'll get on the stair climber machine. So it's like the escalator, and that is a great workout. It's similar to hiking for me. So occasionally I'll wear a weight vest. I'm probably on that machine 3-4 times a week. And sometimes I'll push it a little harder. Sometimes I'll be on there longer, but on average, I'm probably on that machine for 20 minutes to maybe 40 most of the time. And maybe once a week, I'll be on there for about an hour. Again, depends on what's going on. So for a lot of the year, I was on there for longer and pushing it harder. Over the past month or so, it's been less because I had the cold, travel, I got a million excuses. And that kind of wraps up the fitness portion. I will often hike, like I'm actually hiking later on this week, and it'll be a few miles. However, I'm hiking a lot less this year in 2025 than I did probably the last 3 or 4 years. Part of it, I'm pretty sure, is related to me selling my truck. So we only have one car in the household. So in the past, I probably would go meet people more often to hike or go off by myself and go on a solo hike. But since we only have one car, and those hiking days means take the car for whatever, 6-8 hours, something like that, Elizabeth and I have been respectful of sharing the car. So neither of us have been going off and hiking as much. And I think we're both okay with that. We've actually been doing other hobbies and things instead. So I've been playing guitar more. She's been playing her banjo and studying German, taking some German lessons with a tutor. So like there's some things that we're doing instead, which are exercising our minds, which is another, I think it's a valid thing for us to spend time on. And we're still active. And I think I'm working out and getting as many steps. I'm just hiking a little bit less. Like last year, I did 2 14ers. This year, there were no plans to do 14ers, and our schedule didn't work out that way. It seems like, or it felt like, from roughly maybe the end of June or so until mid-October, we've been very busy, like traveling. It's real travel. I mean, I put travel in air quotes, but it's either one or both of us were out of town like every 10 days or something like that. So again, it's all optional, fun trips that we want and we are choosing to go on. However, it's still like getting us out of our routine, and that does make a difference. So the last thing to mention, and I think this is one of the biggest things with Carl, you know, with his, he was working out hard, but he lost weight. And for me, like I'm pretty consistent. In fact, I kind of stopped weighing myself in the last year and a half very often. I mean, I don't even pay much attention, and I could see it when I get soft. Like when I got back from Portland after consuming a lot of great food out there, and even more great beer, well, that's a lot of extra calories. And it takes a week or two for that to catch up. And then, of course, like I said, with the illness, I wasn't walking as much, and I was just not exercising as much. So overall, like I was like, oh, I'm getting a little soft. Time to just eat the appropriate amount of food. And that, obviously, it helps out. And I haven't been like, I don't have the drive to do what I've mentioned on so many episodes in the past where we do a fitness update. And I think I mentioned it. I'm like, yeah, I talk about getting down to like 11 or 12% body fat. But overall, that doesn't sound that much fun. And I don't know if there's going to be like a huge benefit for me to do that. And it's just like some vanity, personal challenge kind of thing. And at the end of the day, I know it basically means like many months of eating less calories than what I'm used to. And that's a noble effort. And if people are into it, like, go for it. But as I go through my day and I'm like, I really enjoy cooking and eating and the social aspect of it, the trade-offs are appropriate. And again, I mean, like, you could still lose weight and cook and eat and be social, but my priorities lie elsewhere. So if I'm like, oh, I don't know what body fat I'm at, but let's say it's like 16%. It's like 16 to 12%. Is that going to make a huge difference, or is it just going to make me like cranky for most days, most of the time? And I think it would just make me cranky, and the benefits would be low. All right. And I think Carl said, why don't we take a picture with our shirts off? And I'm like, I don't even think that's a good motivator. I'll see Carl in a couple of days here, but yeah, I don't know if that's a motivator, because I'm like, oh, all right. Like, you see me a little bit chubbier than I would be. And it's, who gives a fuck if I have a six pack? No one really cares. So, all right. So that's the fitness update. Obviously took longer than I thought, but when I get talking about myself, you know how it is. Oh, here's a little call to action. If you have not left a review for Mile High Fi and you enjoy the show, feel free to leave a review out there. It's helpful. It's helpful if you do leave the review. There's a lot of negative ones out there because people don't like the show, or a handful. A lot of them. Go read them. They're fun, especially on the Apple podcast side. But anyway, if you have any feedback, if you've got questions, stuff like that, shoot me an email, Doug@milehighfi.com.